Hello and welcome in to episode 49 of Caithness Craft Collective. And Louise in this episode is the future you. I've got the damson shawl knit along, the fabric postcards, the Scottish segment, and I'll let you know what the collective and the Me 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 show have been up to. And then we've got the drams. This episode is the Macallan. There's a lot of the's in this. All the links are in the show notes that come from where you download this from. So relax and get your links later on. I'm sponsoring this by my own business, Energy Hunt Limited, www.energyhunt.com, for Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service. Get your cup of tea and your craft, and I'll tell you what a crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blather.
Away and sit in for a blather. Future you. I was doing the Mum Taxi bit one night, and I heard on Brian Burnett's Get It On show on Radio Scotland, Pat Benatar's Love is a Battlefield. Oh, I was instantly transported back to the days when I had a perm, wore pink jeans, couldn't drive legally, bouncing around in my bedroom when I was a teenager. I've not heard that song in such a long time, and it was funny how a song can do that to you. I know smells can transport you back like that too. It was like an old friend calling up and, they minded you when you had the perm, the pink jeans, the bouncing part. But they used to have the perm, the red jeans, and their bouncing was just as embarrassing. Oh, I was really reminiscing about that song. And then I thought about, I've had a good 20 years since then. Wow, I've come a long way, baby. I didn't have a plan of life other than get a good job, get married. And then I thought, I wish I could have told myself to do X, Y, or Z. But then, I suppose, you go back, you tell yourself to do or not to do something, then it would spoil your path that you have made. Mistakes are learning curves. Each and every one of them are things to learn from, and if we carry on doing them, then there are errors, and if we learn to not repeat them, then it's an experience. However, I did think of a few things I would have liked me now to tell me then. Primarily, I would have said, have more confidence in yourself, be yourself, and if other people laugh or poke fun at you, then stuff them. Their future yous didn't tell their past themes that it was rude to pick faults. And I'd tell past me to get to the library more often. I'd read past me Baz Luhrmann's version of Wear Sunscreen. Maybe I'd tell past me to keep up with the knitting from when I was young and learn about curries more and eat healthier. Also, remember the last conversation you had with your father. And then I got to thinking about what future you and craft stuff. What would future you tell past you what to buy and what not to buy? What pattern to start with and, really, are you ever going to use up all that funky fur and, sparkly confetti? Also, since I was deciding on this topic, I've seen Back to the Future again, and then I realised that there was a future you in I Shall Wear Midnight by Terry Pratchett. It's not a new theme, nor one I made up. I just think that we should tell all past me's wear sunscreen. Short blather today, but I still love Pat Benatar. I don't care if I need a perm to tell you that. I don't have a perm. I've got very cool, funky hair, been to hairdressers. Now, if you need a pee, stop, because it's time for the Daisy Laugh. Can you do some giggling?
Good. Hello.
A sandy hello to new to me, been with me a wee whiley. Been with me longer and been with me forever, listeners. I appreciate each and every one of you tuning in, so thank you. Now, a sandy hello to new group members.
Hello.
Drez de Minder, Busy Knitter, who is very busy, Angie Ship, Ripplescraft, Helen from actual www.ripplescraft.com fame, although I actually think she only joined the group to the lemon curd recipe, which I put up in What's a Crack section. So go look in her shop and drool, bye bye bye, and also have a good look at the Northern Lights colourway that she's called in Gaelic, and I can't pronounce it, so I'm not going to. And we've also got Charmin Lochie, more on her later, Aunt Toots Knits, Candy Bee, and Spajo. I also have something for you later on. So thank you for joining, I love your messages and I love your projects. Please everyone carry on putting up their projects onto this page, because I do like seeing what you're up to. And the blathering that's going on is very good. Lots about cats just now. It's making me laugh. Knitting in the bath. I don't always reply, but I do read them all. And the random hellos are Tales from the Plane. Hiya, Nick. How's life in your conservatory? Good Girl Saturday. Who has millions of projects? Do You Sleep, Woman? Stacey W. Freedale. Tooth Fairy. How's the West Coast? Melon Mummy. Bella, Bella. Sorry, I had to say that. Acanthus. Hello, Deli. I thought you're moving on again. And Jelly J. I still love the shoes and the name.
What's the e-crack section?
What's the crack section? Now, I've got my tickets to go to Glasgow on the 10th of March. We are driving down on the 9th, going to the ACCC in the morning of the 10th, and then we'll be going into Buchanan Galleries in the afternoon, maybe via Manders. Would any of my South of Scotland listeners want to meet up at some point? Please let me know. I've had a couple, literally, of messages, which is nice. And once I've stated a time and a place exactly to meet, which is probably either going to be in the foyer of the ACCC, and then later on in Buchanan Galleries, John Lewis Cafe, so I'll let you know. I'm also going to be a selfish podcaster and wish my little Sandy a very happy 6th birthday. We have a new video cast to tell you about. Charmin Lochie, as mentioned earlier, is on episode 12 of our video cast named Charmin Lochie. And you can get it from her website, www.charminlochie.com. And I had to confess that I watched the first one and then I was watching the last one, but the Acrobat plug-in crashed completely my computer. However, I was looking at the website and her projects, and I like her segments of what she's knitting, things I've got right, and what she's reading and watching. And I was really disappointed not to see the blue angry bird that she's finished. I know she does quite a few anagrami type of animals. And, of course, like I say, I've had a look at her project page because I'm nosy that way. But, funnily enough, she says she's from the Western Isles originally, and I think, I used to take note of what she posted on the ScotsKnit forum, so it's nice to see that she's video casting. So, away you go over and have a look. I'm hoping that she's got some good video footage of the area she lives, because it's Aviemore, which is 30 miles south of Inverness-ish, which is smack bang in the middle of the Cairngorm mountain range, and it's a very beautiful part of Scotland. If it doesn't want to make you go and visit on your way to Caithness, of course, Scotland is not for you. So once my computer has had a good shake, I think I'll try to catch her on the iPad. I told you before, I don't really go for video casts due to my rubbish broadband connection, but for Charmin Lochie, I shall make an exception. I have messaged her to see if I can download it as in a oneer to watch later, because streaming doesn't work for my broadband speed. And now we have a gang of Scottish podcasters. Population 2. Also coming up in the Highlands, the Dornoch Craft Guild are running their third annual Fibre Fest, which is on the 16th and 17th of March. And it's going to take place in the Dornoch Social Club, and the programme this year, and I've taken this straight off the poster, there's going to be junior workshops, silk painting of local wildlife with Gaelic titles on the 16th. On the 17th we've got batik workshops with Mary Steru, London-based textile artist. Ooh. And on the 17th, the 18th, we've got felt making workshops with Mary Steru as well. There's exhibition and demonstrations will take place, and it will include the Murray Firth Gansey project, which I talked about last year, and the wool shed from Aberdeen are coming, which is very weird because I was just looking up their website last night before I looked up this stuff for you today. Nice stuff they've got too. Raw Stitch Group, we've got fungus dyeing, weaving, spinning, peg loom, and sales of prepared fleece and craft materials, which all sounds very interesting. A wee update on the Sew magazine from last time. Now, I was sent a pattern from the front cover, gift that was in sizes 14 upwards, as I'm not that size, you can message them and they will send you the smaller version. So I'm thinking, well, this is quite good now. I've got the pattern, I've got the magazine. This is going to be my big project of this year to make this dress and jacket set. It's a Simplicity pattern number 2209 called Passport, if you really feel the need to look it up. And it's kind of got like a 50s or 60s chic about it. But then obviously 2012 colour and patterns. So it's coming south with me to buy the material and bits and pieces for me to make it. And also, I really quite fancy doing Amy Butler's Liverpool tunic dress, but I'm going to get this passport one done first, just to see if I'm kind of serious or not. Now, you know how I own an Alex? Well, my lovely Alex has sent me a link to watch some free motion quilting, how to do it videos, on said tinternet. I've put the link on the show notes and I quite enjoyed watching them, sitting knitting whilst I was watching them. Albeit I had to wait for it to load up due to rubbish broadband, but I'm going to stop complaining about that, maybe. Utterly recommend these if you have ever set needle to material. Even just the way she bastes her quilts is worth watching. It's brilliant. And Patty has a sense of humour, and the quilt show channel that it's on is some resource, so it made me want more, and it made me want to watch this kind of video for spinning. So if you know any good how-to spinning resources like this on to the internet that I can access and not stream but load up, then just point me in the right direction. Aberdeen went very well. It was a specific industry event, and as Energy Hunt, our hands-on practical company, well, he is, we do what everyone talks about at these events, and we made some new contacts, caught up with old contacts, and it was a really good conference. I met up with my pal Kirsten, and we made her go to Wagamama's in Union Square, which is lovely, I'd never actually been in before. Waved at Hobby Crafts, fully intending to go visit it the next day, which I woke up with a cold. I got lost twice that morning, and I didn't get to Hobbycraft, but I did get new glasses and a look in John Lewis, and I bought my mummy some grey rowan 4-ply in cashmere, and a pack of beads, and a size 4.5mm bamboo interchangeable needle set. So I bought craft stuff, but not for me. But it felt really nice, actually. Their little fee, so it was nice. And it was really a thank you for looking after my bairns while I still was off gallivanting in Wagamama's drinking wine. I tell you what, networking when you've had wine in you is so much easier. And I did reconnaissance on the Amy Butler pattern in Lewis's. And last night I realised how close I was to the yarn shop called Wool For You. Curse you getting lost in Aberdeen. No, no, curse me. Oops. I saw our esteemed leader, Alex Salmond. He was the keynote speaker, which we actually missed as we were too busy saying hello to existing clients and meeting new ones, but ugh, hee ho. I had gone out and come back in, avoiding all the press, and looked across the room saying, oh, here it's Alex Salmond. He's actually real. This is what came out my mouth. He's smaller and thinner in real life, and I kind of wanted to go nearer to see if I could see if he actually dyes his eyebrows. I think they've got a life of their own on TV. But as it was, I swished past him as he was talking to someone on the stand next to where my husband was actually doing actual business as opposed to talking about business. Yes, Alex, I'm smaller and thinner in real life too, and I don't dye my eyebrows. A fond farewell to my very good friend, Susan Dolph of Knit A Journey fame. She has called time on her podcast, which needy, selfish me, wheely, wheely, wheelies in despair. I will miss your voice, your news, your sense of Susan-ness. But thank you, Susan, for your news, your voice, and your sense of Susan-ness, and for interviewing me. I think of perseverance, and your name is there. I think of all things permaculture and its relation to the grafting world. Your name is there. I think of Faux Christmas and macrame, and I always shout, macrame, each and every time. Then I was driving home, having listened to your last episode, and I heard Semisonic's song, Closing Time, and the line that I remember the most from that song is, with every beginning is another beginning's end. Well, this is our end and your beginning, and may it be wonderful. You were my numinous and my quotidian, I can't say that, and I was always enamoured with all you talked about. We will miss you, but we had you in the first place. Paula of Knitting Pipeline fame has designed a shawl using her sponsors, Quince & Company's yarn Chickadee. That's the name of the weight of wool, not the actual colourway. And it's called Piper's Journey, as she plays the bagpipes. And it's a lovely wee shawl, and the one I've seen is in grey. Now, I'm not sure how I'm going to explain this right, but it's a kind of crescenty shape in plain stitches, and then the lace border is done on each stitch and goes out the way instead of along the way. I did it on my pie shawl, so I kind of know what I mean. You'd knit perpendicular to the shawl once you've knitted that body of the shawl, and you add stitches on your needle, and then you work along using one stitch from the shawl at a time. It's actually out, I think, today, because it wasn't out yesterday, I've been looking. So congratulations to Paula, and you can get it on Ravelry, and also from Quince & Company, which is an American yarn company. Quince & Company yarn is obviously for the pattern, but you can get this yarn in good old Blighty from Loop London at £7.99 a ball. Paula has a knit-along organised in her group on Ravelry, which I'm going to join, and also once my damson is done. So I'd like to say big congratulations, firstly for making it, publishing a pattern, and secondly for selling all that extra Quince & Company yarn. I hadn't heard of it before Paula talked about it, and now I don't think of one without the other. Damson Nittalo, I have a confession to make. I told you all the start date was 1st of February. Well, I started mine the week before. Sorry. I had an idea I could wear it to the conference in Aberdeen. No. Well, as it was, I wore a bright tomato red tunic dress over trousers. Ah, blue really wouldn't have gone with it. And so I started it, and I got to row 22 and realised, no, I had gone wrong. And yes, I wasn't doing the last yarn over of the middle section. So I pulled it right out, and I left it a few days. I started it again because I had nothing else really going on, and it was rubbish. Cause, here I was knitting something on Twitter I had nothing craft-wise to tell you about. Oh, pickled cucumbers. Anyway, I went away to Aberdeen with no knitting. Because we left at 5 a.m, we got home at 9 p.m, and I didn't think there would be much light time in the car. And I was reading how you were all starting, what you were all using, and I kind of felt bad because I'd started. That's what the Malabrigi morning was about, because that's what I was using. But the Damson Knit Along thread is very busy. It's busy as anything. And from just the two of us, Trina and I, who has finished, yeah, there's loads. I haven't counted, but it's been very good fun. Plus, you know what I really love is one of the things that, if one of us has learned something from the pattern, i.e. made a mistake, we'd put it up there so nobody else does the same mistake. And also, someone isn't even knitting it, but has helped others with advice. It's like a wee gang of helpful listeners. We're like paper dollies cut from newspaper holding hannies. Or like Daisy's little friends all holding hannies going into nursery. Some of us haven't started this, and some of us, i.e. Trine, has finished it. Well done, it's beautiful. I'm on row 41, and I know my stitch count is not quite right, but I've decided to get to the last 10 rows or so and sort it out then. Because otherwise I'll be too busy worrying, and I know I can fudge it when I get to the end. They say you can't, but I'll do it the Louise way. Moving on. Fabric postcards. Oh, really, you can join in any time if you have the damson pattern and you've been thinking, oh, I could make that, I've got the yarn moustache. Well, this is your gentle nudge in the right direction, but don't feel like you have to. Do it because you want to. Fabric postcards. There is a thread now in Ravelry for this swap. Put your name up if you are interested, and I'll sort you into swap partners. I really enjoyed getting them in the post, so I think it's only fair that we share this around. Don't be scared of this thought, either. You can cut and stick, you can do this. The sewing part is over and above the magic. You can glue buttons on. You can glue bits of lace on top. It's not about how good you're stitching. If you want to stitch on some fancy embroidery, feel free. But the idea is just to send something nice in the post. You can even stick on a whole pile of little bitties of wool, make it into a smiley face. It'll make somebody's day. Because there's also this letter writing thing going on this month. Can I find it now? No. And it's basically challenged you to send post every day this month, whether it's a full letter or a short note or a fabric postcard. And I thought, oh, that sounds really nice. Every day, a bit too much for me, but just do what you can. I buy books, I never read, and then I tell you some more about me. Now for the Me Show, and also what the collective were up to. Caithness Quilters. It was the first sewing day for the year at Caithness Quilters. The hall was absolutely full to bursting point, and we were reorganising tables, extension cables, as more and more people came in the door. What a blathering went on. Well, we've not seen each other since Christmas time, you know. We even had three extra ladies come in to see what we got up to and promises to join up. If anyone wishes to come along to Caithness Quilters, please do look up Caithness Quilters on the internet on Google, and you're more than welcome, beginners through to experts. I sat with my mum, of course, and she gave my sewing machine a sorting out. I couldn't get the tension right on it, and I had given up, so she went to clean it. Yeah, it was clean already. Here, I'm actually quite good at cleaning my sewing machine just now, partly because it's always jamming, so I have to, and partly because Daisy likes doing that bit too. I still not found that brush that she went off with. I was sitting at Mum's machine. Manking is not a word I use lightly with my mother, but I started cleaning it for her, because I'm nice that way. So Mum rethreaded mine. Nope. I showed it the hammer. Nope. She changed the needle. Hey, hurry, was the kitty. I hugged it, literally, and I told it that it was not going to the tip. I'd been looking around all the room at the machines in the hall, and mine's the oldest and the yellowest, but I'm told that's from use. I priced up the most common machine that there was there. £800. Yeah. So I finished embroidering my colour wheel, colour chart, and then I sewed the binding together and then to one side. I've yet to make a sleeve for it to hang from where I want to put it on the wall so I can finish it and then attach the binding properly. It was also Linus Quilt Day and our coordinator Valerie was busy sewing on labels. There was a show and tell of 8 lovely quilts to be handed out through the Linus Quilt scheme. For those that haven't heard me talk about it before, the Linus Quilt is a scheme named after Charlie Brown's friend Linus. He always had a quilt comforter with him, if you can remember the character. These quilts are handed out in ambulances or in hospitals or in care homes for children and vulnerable people in the north of Scotland. It is a scheme that's done worldwide, but this is particularly in our area. They can be knitted or crocheted, quilted or sewn, and are gratefully received and gladly given. These blankets can be for the old right down to the babies that don't quite make it in this world. Oh, they are peaty. Valerie actually said, "Now, this is quite hard to see and make, but if you feel that you can make one, then they would be very gratefully received." Oh, she was right. This quilt was tiny, and it's called a blanket of love. And I hope that nobody we know is ever in need of one, but they are there, sadly there, and made with love. And to brighten us up, Mum and Janet were making Gruffalo wall hangings. It is stupendous. I can't wait for it to give it to the bairns and send us all a photo. Janet was heard at one point to say with gusto, "Oh, goody, a free ironing board." Valerie and I looked at each other and just laughed because, I mean, where else would you be happy that the ironing board was free? So it was a good day. And then I went to the hairdressers. So it was an uber good day. The show and tell was beautiful, and Dorothy of Textile Artist fame has finished another needle felted picture, and this one is of a stone Celtic cross which is in front of Iona Abbey. It is stunning. It's got the correct depth, she's got different types of sheep fleece in, including some Jacob and Svorbel I gave her. The cross is three dimensional, it's got beads sewn in for sparkle, and it's beautiful. And on to spinning. I was very pleased to make it to spinning group on Sunday, and I walked in, there was a show and tell, I love show and tell, and had a wee bonnet in her hand. So think Pa Brune or Victor and Jack from Still Games hats. Anne had spun the yarn from a white sheep out the front window, that's what she said, out of her house, and a dark brown sheep from the back of her house. She wove the yarn, and she made a wonderful bonnet hat out of it. She'd even lined it. I was in awe. What a wonderful idea of it was. And she called it the Dunnet Bonnet, because she lives in Dunnet. She also had a really cool idea for the Castletown Heritage Centre. Oh, hello Anne, in case you're listening. She had a really cool idea of the Castletown Heritage Centre of weaving a cloth that is specific to the centre. So we kind of suggested colours for the blue for the sea, greens for the wonderful garden that they have, and she decided on greys for the Caithness flagstone that the building is made from. But I thought, what a wonderful idea. She's always come up with these great ideas, and she never gives herself credit for this credit that she's due. So Anne, you're wonderful, and many people think that. So just blush, say thank you, and carry on being wonderful. I was wanting to start spinning my Svorbel, and I know that's not how you say it properly, Sarah, sorry, for making my Owl's Jumper by Katie Davis. And it calls for a bulky weight of 7 wraps per inch, and I need about 800 yards of it. I've got plenty of fleece anyway. So I asked Caroline, how do you spin to requirement? Now she suggested getting some already measured out yarn to the weight of the weight that I'm wanting and study it. It gives you the ply, the wraps per inch and the twist count too. She then ties it to the side of her wheel to compare and contrast as she goes along. Of course, that makes perfect sense. I had always wondered why she had little bits of wool wrapped around her wheel. So I then put my hand on my phone, which had no signal and no iPad, with iSpin Toolkit. And I was thinking, oh, but I don't have a piece of proper that size wool, so how am I going to know how many wraps per inch I need? And then I had my hand on the House of Commons notebook that I bought last year from, the House of Commons. And it has all my notes in from a previous spinning. I take a sort of 4-inch long piece of whatever I've made and I sellotape it into the book. Bang. It's 9 technical at that. And then I write down how much I got out of it, what it was, what I made with it, how fat or thin I made it, how I spun it, how many twists and wraps per inch, and anything else I can think to add. I had a few looks of, what are you doing? And I muttered, well, it was a podcast that Yarn Spinner's Tale suggested to do. And it's actually quite handy. It's a reference thing. Especially when you're learning as well, you know, you don't automatically know, well, I want to spin bulky, therefore it's 7 wraps per inch. No, I had vague memories of it, but like everything in life, if you ask me straight away, my brain goes blank, my eyes go wide, and I go, I'll look it up. I'm such a bad computer person these days. Right, where were we? But in this book, there was some bulky, so off I went. And the more info I think I put in that wee book, the better. Like a little table of what the wraps per inch would be. Perfect. Now, Cheryl of Bell the Ball had suggested that I do woolen spinning to give the loft and depth that it requires for this pattern, because I know she's made it and made a very good job of it. But I'm not practised in woolen, and I know I'm sounding like I'm throwing the advice I asked for back on her face. I'm sorry, I hope it doesn't sound like that. But I have lots and lots of drum carded Svorpal ready, and I can't face recarding it into Rolex. I'm just not that dedicated a person. Maybe if I make it again, I would. Or make this an absolute mockery of what I'm doing. No, I'm not convincing you, am I? Well, that's what's on my wheel. I've got half a bobbin of Svorpal getting ready to be an owl. Give me a twit, and I'll say woo. Oh, twit, yes, that's me.
Scottish segment.
Scottish segment. Our other new member, Spajo, I'm sure it's probably not how you say her name, has a lovely Ravatar photo. I asked her about it and if I could share it, and she said that it's of the boat Patricia that her grandfather's family emigrated to America in 1901. Her great-grandmother came across the Atlantic on this boat with 5 children by herself because her husband had already gone over a year before. I think she must have been an amazing woman of courage to do that. I can barely go to Oban with 2 small children, never mind across the Atlantic. So Spajo said that her grandfather was a very hard worker. Both her grandparents were. Her grandma was born there, though her mum was born in Odessa, and she became a public school teacher that carried the family through the Depression. She says her grandfather, who probably didn't even get through 8th grade, used to sell things off a pushcart in the Lower East Side of New York. One day he got a load of books to sell and he found a signature in them. Being a canny kind of guy, he thought that it might be worth some extra money. It was, and a long story short, he became one of the most renowned rare book and manuscript dealers in the world. He was often called upon to authenticate presidential and important signatories, and he worked with many university libraries to validate and grow their rare book collections. See, when I had got to the point of he found a signature, I was thinking, oh, please be money, please be money, please. This is just a career. How fantastic is this? So, he used to fly all around the country and all around the world. All this from a little Polish Jewish peasant boy who didn't finish elementary school. He ditched his accent as soon as he could, although he loved Yiddish, the language of his childhood. So Spajo said that she had this photo up to remind her of how hard things were and put things into context. Is that not just amazing? I reckon her great-grandmother would be proud of that attitude. I thought it was pertinent due to the book that I was reading yesterday. It's a book about herring and the history of the herring industry in the European seas. I explained how the herring were dyed red and not smoked properly during the First World War to save time and money, but they weren't very good and it gave the phrase of red herring. Also, the ins and outs of the process of turning the herring into kippers, which, actually I have a couple in the fridge. Caithness fishing industry was built around the herring trade. In 1835 there were 106,000 barrels of herring cured in Wick alone. In Wick Heritage Centre they have a wee shed set up exactly like a curing shed used to be, so I can kind of see it in my mind's eye, I know exactly what he's talking about. Herring are incredibly good for you, but they are really seen as a poor man's food with too many bones. It's full of omega-3 oils and has more protein and energy than eggs, beef, potato and milk, not put together, just separately. And if you fillet it correctly, this is true, you can get the meat out without the endless bones. Because even I can do it. My Daisy loves kippers. In the back of the book, Well, I always think it was quite interesting because I like reading things about the Caithness history and stuff. But in the back of the book, there was an appendix called Sketches on a Sutherland Coast from June the 9th of 1855. And the writer visited Helmsdale and he took a trip north in a boat along the Caithness coast looking for the herring, or the silver darlings as we call them in the north. They were often caught at night time, the herring loved the moonlight, and when they were hauled, they would glint silver. The author goes out and he catches the fish and he describes the coastline and the boats himself, and I was quite interested because it was the Caithness coastline. Then he goes back to Helmsdale, and this is where I was reading, I just stopped dead, and I have to read it for you. After a further tour in Sutherlandshire, I returned to Helmsdale and I was walking down to the pier. I saw it was at the close of September, the usual debris of a succession season, broken barrels, broken oars, torn canvas and a miscellaneous quantity of the rubbish which continually encumbers the pier of a northern seaport town. So it goes on about the boats and then he talks about the Dutch sailors. They are almost as square built as their ships. They are nevertheless most excellent seamen. They are canny enough to construct their rigging and arrange their sails so that they can set them and haul them down without going aloft. There are a number of them lounging on the pier, walking about or sitting on casks, in their clumsy sea boots and nor'wester hats. I was like, oh, that's very interesting, yeah, but this is it. But a wildly different class of people were grouped together upon the pier, no less than Sutherland immigrants, stalwart men with strong features, broad flat bonnets, Sutherland tartan plaids, and the watchful and faithful collie, wondering where on earth had he got to. The married, the young women, wore the usual homespun garments of the Highlands. While on their heads, the matrons wore the curch, and the maidens the emblematic snood. During the day, the number of the immigrants increased, and the whole of the population of the town turned out to bid them farewell. There was an emigrant ship lying in Cromarty, and their destination was Canada. The passages of all, and the maintenance of all, down to the shepherd dogs, had been paid by the Duke of Sutherland, boo, and their transport guaranteed, to patches of land and cottages in a district where a number of the Sutherland Highlanders were settled before them. The scene before me was unspeakably affecting. The nervous, agitated looks of the men, the restlessness which they manifested, the constant moving about, the continually opened and continually broken off conversations, all showed the agitated nature of their feelings. The grief of the women was loud and utterly unrestrained. They clung to the relatives whom they were leaving, never perhaps to see more, with frantic energy, kissing each other on the forehead, the lips, the cheeks, the hands, while the children clung to their mother's skirts, utterly bewildered, weeping in sympathy with their mothers. Every reference and their overflowing hearts could not refrain from them, to the cottages in which they were born, to the little patch of land which they cultivated, to the loch, to the barn, to the glen, to the friends at home, brought forth a fresh burst of wailing. Several women fainted when carried in that condition onto the boat, which, by the way, was a very good one, where they soon recovered. I applied to the skipper, who was a Helmsdale man, to give me a passage for small consideration, and it talks a bit more about the weather there. And now the time was to come for our departure. There was immediately apparent a sort of revulsion of feeling amongst the emigrants and their relations on shore. It seemed to me that the actual departure had turned the thoughts of both from the hills and the glens, the rocks, the rivers of the Highlands, to the fertile district to which they were going, and where many of their friends had gone before them and had written them home good news, so that by a universal impulse a loud cheer was raised both from boat and pier, and in which the stalwart Dutchmen joined, and glasses of whisky were drained first as in duty bound to Her Majesty the Royal Family, then to those that we leave behind us, to those that we'll find before us. The piper then struck up the most beautiful sad, at the same time the most melancholy pibroch ever composed. I cannot spell the Gaelic name, but the meaning is, we return no more. A light and pleasant breeze from the shore carried us merrily across the long swell of the bar, and for half a mile on our course, when it dropped into a dead calm and left us heaving upon the long swell of the North Sea. Does that not just make you go, oh, can you imagine? I know some of the people have emigrated, but we emigrate by plane now, and we can get back to where we came from pretty easily. But emigrating and never, ever being able to see people that you left behind again, that just, oh, blows my mind. So I dedicate this all to my listeners who've had ancestors. I know there's quite a lot of you who emigrated from Scotland, and this is especially for you, Spejo, even though your family wasn't from Scotland. I wonder if your great-granny had a future horror came back to tell to her what she would have said. I think she still would have gone. We did the Highland Clearances in history at school, and I've stood under the immigrant statue in Helmsdale, which is very beautiful and very sad. So it's not a new history to me. My own ancestor stayed, but there for the grace of God go I. So that was me. Now on to the drams, where we have the McAllen with my husband. And there's no more after this, so if the drams is not your thing, thanks for listening, and speak to you the next episode. If it is, here you go. And I've put a bit of music underneath this, and I'm not going to tell you why. But enjoy!
My drumming, my drumming, my drumming, my drumming. I hope you like drumming too.
Hello, this time we're doing the McAllen, which is a Highland single malt whiskey, and it's a 10-year-old version, this one. It is exclusively matured in selective sherry oak casks from Jerez, Spain. And it seems to be quite important to the McAllen that it is from a sherry oak cask, because it says it everywhere, doesn't it?
Yes, it's required to deliver the deep, rich, delicious, smooth and well-rounded flavour with a slight sweetness and touch of sherry and wood.
Oh, he's good, isn't he?
It says here.
Not on the tin. Now, I'll tell you what, this week's box is a very nice box, albeit very cute, because I bought a miniature. I bought a 5cl version, which cost me $4.99 from Mackay's Grocers in Thurso. So basically, there's one big dram in this, or two little drams for this. And the box itself has quite a bony, bronzy, metallic colour to it. And then it's got an imprint of the distillery from Easter Elf.
Easter Elf is Fagin Galloway, Scotland.
So it's from Speyside Malt, which is
near Speyside.
In Speyside, but they have a specific taste to them, but don't they? Because they're not very peaty, the Speyside Malts.
No.
And the bottle itself is kind of oval to the side of it, because that makes such a difference to these all, like you care. But the label's quite nice, it's quite plain, but very easy to read, with black and gold, and then it's got the wee logo of the distillery building.
Very effective.
It's quite, isn't it?
It's nice. It's very simple and basic, but quite effective.
Yes, that's what I like. Stylised. Now, even on the top of the lid, it's got a wee logo, and it says established 1824, with a wee picture of the distillery.
I would almost say it's bordering on Lenny McIntosh, the kind of theme with the squares and the imprint there and stuff.
But I could see your point, but to me that's just windows.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so here's the tiny little pop.
Ooh.
Oh, it's cute!
You gotta explain this as a medicinal one for me.
What would you say? You
I've got the worst case of man flu known to man, recorded in 2012. I've been in my bed for 2 days.
Which is actually unheard of. It's not really been all that long. 1 day. Right, so we have opened it up, and what do we do then?
You're gonna pour it in,
right,
and we smell it,
and listen for the glug. Because that's all there is. I'm trying to get the last drop.
I think you ended up with 3 seals. I've got 2. Check the colour.
Right, check the colour.
Now, I definitely think that's a greeny hue to that.
There does seem to be a quite green.
It might just be the light in the kitchen.
I don't know. I keep catching
maybe
green.
Maybe it's algae.
I don't think there's a muggle lot of algae around Speyside, considering Speyside is landlocked. Right, so then we put it up the glass, see how fast it falls.
Two next time.
So, the famous grouse, what's the thing that falls first?
I can't remember.
Well, it's a mixture of. Oh, it's obviously the other Glen, so it doesn't get mentioned.
Yeah.
Because it's the Highland Park. And
I wasn't listening to that part of the.
You can never listen to me.
Kind of get the stuff.
Right, so then we sniff. It's got a different sniff to it.
I can't smell it.
Can be useless at describing this. I'd say it's quite a barley-ish kind of smell. It's not peaty. When you don't have peaty malts.
Aye. You get peaty and smoky and it's barley and wheat.
But it's kind of like the barley and wheat. It's definitely
maybe kind of go for a kind of vanilla raisin spices and maybe lots of esters. That's not polyester.
No, but that's...
Or ester Hansen.
That's the taste. That's not
is it?
The smell. Right, and I'll now add the water. You know your own. spat in that, they would have put more water in it. Right. Slangevar.
Slangevar. Sorry, I can't taste. I could be drinking petrol, I wouldn't know the difference.
Oh no, it doesn't taste of petrol. It's not harsh. It's not pee. It's
medicinal.
Well, to him it's medicinal, so you've got me trying to explain that it's supposed to taste of vanilla, raisins, spices and lots of esters. So I'll have another taste, purely for helping you out, not nothing to do with medicinal.
Educational.
Mm.
What's sweeter?
Yes. Yeah, that'll be the raisins. I can't taste anything else. It just tastes like a different type of whiskey to me, because remember I'm rubbish at this. However, this is what makes up your famous grouse.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Right, this is where I got it.
That's kind of overpowered by the Highland Park
balance. Well, obviously, yes. And also, I saw Tesco's that they had the snow grouse.
Oh.
And they also had the black grouse.
Mmm.
And also, they had a 18-year-old Highland Park for £72.
Oh, snap. Off the press.
Do you know what I quite like to do, and I'm not going to pay £72 for a bottle of whiskey, this is where you're going into getting it for your pension fund, but I would kind of like to do the taste comparison of a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old and an 18-year-old.
Then you should have gone to...
Did you get to do that when you were at the distillery?
I did give you a 12 and an 18.
And is there a specific difference?
I can tell the difference. I prefer the 12s.
Yeah, right. Not that I've got a really good palate for describing, but
kind of quite stronger flavoured and more alcohol tasting, if that makes sense.
Now they've been
than the 12.
Losing
their flavor. Think they're much stronger. They're just the flavour, just a bit more.
But this sherry oak cask, I remember seeing something on telly from Oban Distillery, and they were talking about where they got their casks from. So I think it must be quite important to all the whiskies where they get their casks from. And its colour is pale gold. We're just reading the tasting note. A hint of sweet toffee, balanced dried fruits and sherry. Oh, I don't know about the sweet toffee. Remember, because there was something I had that had prunes in it. I'm not getting sweet toffee. Smooth with dried fruits, sherry sweetness and wood smoke. And then it finishes dried fruits, sweet toffee and a hint of wood spice. Hmm. Smooth, I would say it was smooth, not harsh.
Would you have it again? Or if someone put that in front of you, or a Highland Park, or a grouse, or anything else, would you have it again, over all the rest?
No.
No. But, well, fine, though.
Well, it wasn't.
It's all about taste.
And it's a little peaty, cute, tiny miniature, and I think the miniatures are quite a good way of tasting your way around to find what you like.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Or, you can always go to a pub.
Yes.
And go round the optics.
The pub I'm in next week is famous for its selection of whiskies.
Oh yeah.
The Castle Hotel, Huntley. But I won't be drinking, obviously, because I'll be working and doing important stuff.
You could ask them questions.
I could ask them questions. Definitely.
If any listener has any questions for the Castle Huntley...
Castle Hotel Huntley.
Yes. Please let us know. Right, so have we got anything else to say? Slangevar. Are you all sober? The blah 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 bit?
The blah 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 fettle.
That's me. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you're all in good health and if not good fettle. You can download me from Podbean and iTunes and all reviews are gratefully welcome. Please do carry on with the reviews and comments. You can email me on caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. Get me on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt or join the Caithness Craft Collective group in there. I'm also on Seamed Up and Stitching Fingers, very occasionally. And Twitter, not occasionally. I'm on Twitter as Caithness Craft, quite a lot. The music is Snow by the band Comfortable and also Whiskey by Odd Tone, both from musicalley.com where you can go and get them. Thanks for listening and keep on crafting.